The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Smith Micro Software, makers of Stuff It Deluxe, designed to move files simply and securely wherever customers want them to go, for Mac and PC, online at stuffit.com. And Ask Metafilter, thousands of life's little questions answered, online at ask.metafilter.com.
Hey, I'm Scott from Seattle.
I'm Holly from Chicago.
Hey, I'm Josh Stevenson from Moscow, Idaho.
The Sound of Young America is produced independently
and supported by listeners like you and me.
You should support the show like I did. Just visit MaximumFun.org/donate.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International.
It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is the comedian, writer, and actress Kristen Shaw. She's probably best known for her role as Mel, the psychotically obsessed fan on Flight of the Conchords. She's also a stand-up comedian, a contributor to The Daily Show. She's acted in numerous films and television programs, recently Toy Story 3 and Dinner for Schmucks. And with her sweetheart, Rich Blomqvist, who is a writer for The Daily Show. She is the author of the new book, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex. Here she is in a clip from a recent stand-up comedy performance.
New York City, huh, guys? I love it. I love this city. I think if you live in this city of dreams, it is impossible to have a bad day here. I really think that. I do. Even if, let's just say that something goes awry in your day, and you're, like, riding your bike or something, and then someone hits you with their car or whatever, you know. At least you can lay out and enjoy those bright lights while you wait for the ambulance. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right, New York City? Am I? Am I? Am I right? Am I right, sir? Because I hit a guy on his bike today. And I just kept driving.
Kristen Shaw, welcome to The Sound of Young America.
Thanks for having me, Jesse Thorne.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, Kristen. It's a pleasure to have you.
I think the listeners should know that I am seated in a chair that your great uncle made.
That's true. Uncle Phil.
That's the craftsmanship here, the craftsmanship.
Well, we were worried. We really believe in Americana craft, handmade things. We're basically sort of like Freeman Sporting Club.
Sounds like old America to me.
Hello.
Hi.
I just got burned by Kristen Shaw from Flight of the Conchords. Kristen, you grew up in Colorado and on a farm. I got the impression it's sort of the kind of semi-working kind of farm, the kind of farm that has animals, but that's not how people are making their living.
That's true. Yeah, I even talked to my dad about it. He said it turned out to be more of a hobby farm for him, because he still works as a carpenter. And that's what paid the bills. And then the cows, you know, would be extra money to, like, go into college tuition and stuff.
And what kind of relationship did you have with these farm animals that were sort of in between livelihood and family pets?
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic. Like, I had two sheep. They were babies that I raised as babies, and I would bottle feed them, and they were so adorable. And then they grew up.
Are you telling me that you bottle fed baby sheep?
Yeah, two
Jeez.
Of them, Laverne and Shirley, because I was like really creative. And so I was like, that's your names. And they're so cute as babies, like all animals. But something about sheep, they get big and they're like, rah! Like that's how they sound. And they're constantly yelling. And I just sort of hated them. I ended up hating a lot of the animals. I have lots of crazy memories. One of them is my dog, Teddy, would love to play with the chickens. And he would pick up the chickens and he'd throw them in the air just for fun. but the chickens couldn't handle it, and their necks would break, and they would be killed instantly. And so he kept doing it, and my dad had to teach Teddy a lesson. So he took one of the newly deceased chickens and tied it around my dog's neck with wire and just let it decompose around my dog's neck for like 3 days. And I was in kindergarten at the time, and I just remember getting off the bus, and Teddy would run up so excited to see me and like jump up to lick my face, and this like decomposing chicken would just slap me over and over in the face. It was horrifying.
That does not even sound like a real thing.
Yeah, well, no, it is. It actually taught Teddy a lesson, and he never bothered a chicken again after that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm traumatized just hearing you say that.
I know. And that was sort of my childhood. That sort of sums it up.
Was there some point in your childhood or your adolescence where you got to a point where you felt like you could be your own person outside of decomposing chickens tied to your pet and that kind of thing?
I think it was when I saw Muppets Take Manhattan. And I was like, I want to go there. and then I slowly started to, I wanted to make my way and do theater and movies and stuff. I remember early memories of like kind of like looking in my mirror in the bedroom, putting on a ton of makeup and like dimming the lights and just wondering, is this movie okay? Like, is this look okay for movies? But only if I like held my face a certain way. I'm like, there it is. That's your movie star look. You're gonna make it. But I had doubts.
I had the chance to visit Pixar like 6 or 9 months ago, something like that. And I had lunch with Lee Unkrich, who directed Toy Story 3. And Lee is a big comedy fan. And he said to me, well, have you ever had Kristen Schaal on your show? And I said, no, you know, we've always wanted to have a, you know, good reason to have her on. And it just hasn't worked out or whatever. And then I said to him, hey, you know about Kristen Schaal. Do you know about this thing, Kristen Schaal's a horse? And he was like, oh, yeah, I know about Kristen Schaal as a horse. Everyone here knows about Kristen Schaal as a horse. And I want to play a little bit of Kristen Schaal as a horse. This is a sketch that you did with your frequent comedy collaborator, Kurt Braunhaller. This is you performing it on national television in Australia.
Yeah.
Wow, we are so excited to show. We haven't been this excited since we did our own show back in the 70s in America.
Yeah, it's called Uncle Ben's Farmyard Courthouse. It was a children's show.
It explained the American judicial system to children ages 3 to 8 using a courthouse made completely of animals.
Yeah, I think it failed because none of the animals could talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, we got to write a lot of sketches.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing one for you this evening. This is actually a sketch from our show in the 70s called Uncle Ben's Farmyard Courthouse. You ready?
I am. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
One, two, one, two, three. Oh, Kristen Schaal is a horse. Kristen Schaal is a horse. We're looking at her dance like a look at her go, like a look at her dance like a horse. Oh, Kristen Schaal is a horse. Kristen Schaal is a horse. We're looking at her dance like a look at her go, like a look at her dance like a horse. Oh, Kristen Schaal is a horse.
So maybe you could describe what's happening as this on the stage as this builds in intensity.
Okay, yeah. So I'm dancing back and forth on the stage like a pendulum. And Kurt is just, he keeps going. And I had to give all the credit to Kurt because dancing's tough, but he is like singing his heart out and clapping. Like his hands are almost bleeding at the end when we do this sketch. And he holds the reins on this. He has complete control. It goes forever. Like, we actually did it in Australia one night. We were drunk, but I think we did it for 10 minutes. At first, it's funny because it's just like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. Then it's absolutely not funny. It's annoying and uncomfortable. And the fact that it's still going in that state, it's funny again.
I feel like we're justified to cut immediately now to the grand finale. So the amazing thing to me about having brought this thing up to Lee Unkrich at Pixar was not the thing in and of itself, although that is certainly amazing. It was the idea that someone works in a place where everyone has seen this and loves it. when you went in to record Toy Story 3, it must have been a neat thing to get to go somewhere where you can do something that weird. And these people who make something for basically everyone in America all really like it and get it.
Yeah, that was a magical experience because it did seem like we sort of shared the same sensibilities at Pixar. It, like, instant friendship. It was easy. It was easy to be Lee's friend and everybody that works there. We're all sort of on the same page about what's kooky and funny. Which I'm honored. I'm honored that they think my stuff is funny. I think they're brilliant.
The Sound of Young America returns triumphantly to New York City on October 22nd at the Jerome L. Green Performance Space at WNYC. Join me, Jesse Thorne, my guests, including the brilliant Amy Sedaris and more, for a night of fun and laughter and good times and, I don't know, maybe some intellectual stimulation. We'll see. You can find more information about the show by visiting MaximumFun.org and clicking on our Live in New York City link in the right-hand bar. The Sound of Young America is proud to be a returning sponsor of the Seattle Sketch Fest in 2010. It's Seattle's premier comedy festival. It's happening October 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Theater Off Jackson in Seattle's International District. You know, when Sketchfest Seattle got started in 1999, it was the first sketch comedy festival in the country, and it's been operating continuously ever since. I've performed sketch comedy there and recorded The Sound of Young America there, and my experiences were absolutely wonderful. You'll see some of the best sketch comedy groups in the country all converging on Seattle for a festival that really is a blast. If you're a comedy fan in Seattle and you want to check it out, visit them online at sketchfest.org. That's Sketchfest Seattle 2010, October 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Theater Off Jackson in Seattle's International District. Online at sketchfest.org. It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is the comedian Kristen Shaw. She's probably best known for her work as the obsessed fan on Flight of the Conchords. With her sweetheart, Rich Blomqvist, she's the author of The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex.
You're probably best known for your role in Flight of the Conchords, which was an HBO series that ran two series on HBO before coming to its conclusion, I guess you would say. It wasn't quite canceled. It was done. Mm-hmm. You played this character who is an obsessive fan of the Flight of the Conchords, and it's in a funny way like some of the most pathos that's in the program comes from your character. Let's hear a little clip from the show.
Oh, hey guys.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, whoa. It's crazy meeting you here, huh?
Well, outside our house.
Yeah, Brett, you are so funny. I love your sense of humor.
What are you doing down Mr. Lee's stairwell?
Jogging. Hey, where were you guys on Tuesday? I went to your gig. I was at the aquarium for hours just waiting. They wouldn't let me stay after 1 a.m., but, well, what time did you guys play?
It was canceled.
Oh, that sucks. Well, the fish were beautiful. They were breeding. It's mating season, and I saw fish make love.
I don't think we want to hear that.
Oh, it's really interesting, actually. You know, quite a few species of fish require two or more sexual partners.
We have to go now, Mel.
Where?
Home. That's right. Yeah.
You just Just came from home.
Yeah, we're just popping out for a second. And then that's all we were going to do, just get some air.
Mm. Oh, we always have such a fun time when we're hanging out together.
What do you like about playing that character who really takes it to another level consistently throughout the program?
The best part about it, definitely they gave me tons of gifts in the writing, like having a husband sort of to anchor her down, even though she's like, you knew that she would only go so far. And that was the best part, is that I could be as big as I wanted because Mo would never actually take it to a sincerely gross place. You know what I mean? Like, she wouldn't. I feel like if there was a place where they were like, okay, Mel, let's go. Let's sleep with each other. I think Mel would be like, no, you know, like, I'm married. Like, I think, I don't know. I sort of like that there was some parameters on how crazy she could get. And, you know, it was my first time playing a role that reoccurred, you know, so I could sort of really live in her. I know it's still actorly, but I got to like be this character for, you know, a good period of time and then, you know, discover more stuff about her.
Her passion for them is sort of like David Cassidy or like Justin Bieber-y transposed into a grown-up.
Yeah. Well, but there are women like that for sure. I mean, I did meet them.
Let's talk a little bit about The Daily Show. In fact, before we do, let's hear a segment you did just recently. This is you talking about Sarah Palin as the new face of feminism and her new stance as the queen of the grizzly moms.
Grizzly bear mama grizzlies.
Mama grizzlies,
yeah.
Mama grizzlies, sorry.
Mama grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Governor Palin's political strategy is to release a pack of, for lack of a better word, killing machines into the legislative process.
Killing machines? No, no. Mama grizzlies are protecting machines.
Mama grizzly, in a political sense, is someone who is watching what is going on that is adversely affecting our cubs, our children, the future of America. It's all about stopping Obama, Pelosi, and Reid and what they are doing to our country.
Okay, see that right there, the notion that somehow protecting children is equated with stopping Democrats. Don't somehow liberal women care about their children as well?
No way, John. Liberals aren't bears. If anything, they're like gerbils. They'll eat their young if their welfare check is late.
The suggestion is all bears are conservative then?
Yeah, just about. I mean, the only ones that typically don't vote Republican are the Berenstain Bears. Because they're Jews.
So how did you end up getting this Daily Show gig? You've been a contributor to the Daily Show periodically for a couple of years now.
Yeah, it was during the elections. Hillary Clinton was running against Barack Obama. And she started to lose, and I kind of got upset about it because I don't think there's been a female candidate that has the credentials that she has in the past, and I worry that there won't be one like her in the future for a while, just looking at who's in what position in government right now. So I was like, this is a drag. I don't think there's going to be another female president in our country. Or the first female president in our country. By the way, we are behind pretty much all the first world countries and female leaders for like, I said, 200 to 300 years. And I
roughly.
Yeah. So I made a
somewhere
the
in
way
there.
We're going, our trajectory.
Right.
So I did a stand up bit about it where I filmed myself on stage to be put in a time capsule for our first female president 200 years from now. And Rich Blomquist saw that stand-up bit, and he turned it into a piece. And then he showed it to Jon Stewart and the producers, and they liked it. I went in and read it, and then like 2 days later, I put it on the air.
Let's hear that piece that you wrote and created with Rich Blomquist.
Kristen, you seem a little down. Are you upset about what's happened with Geraldine Ferraro? Is it? I know you're a big supporter of the Clinton campaign.
No, I'm a supporter of the female campaign, John. Unlike some people I can name, females who voted for Barack Obama, you know who you are. Sorry, John.
I understand.
It's just that as a self-empowered 27-ish-year-old woman, I feel emotionally invested in Senator Clinton's run for the White House. Mm-hmm. I want so badly to see a female president in my lifetime, but every time we get close, it just always seems to fall apart. And that's a tough birth control pill to swallow for a 25-year-old such as myself.
Kristen.
No, I'm barely old enough to vote.
I get it, Kristen. Even if Hillary doesn't get the Democratic nomination, it doesn't mean that you'll never see a female president.
Yes, it does, John. This is America. It's taking 232 years to get a woman this close. Hillary Clinton's intelligent, articulate. If she can't win, there won't be another viable female candidate until the year 2300.
2300?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a ways off.
It's a 300-year sausage fest, John.
So, Rich Blomquist is a writer for The Daily Show,
mm-hmm.
also your sweetheart.
I like that term.
Well, you know, you got to figure out which one. Partner sounds creepy.
Yeah, sweetheart's nice.
And he's also your co-author on your new book, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to work so intensely with someone that you are romantically involved with? Because this is a book that is, you know, 200 pages, and even with illustrations, there's just a lot of jokes in here.
Oh, thanks.
It's a lot of material.
I'm glad you could tell.
Yeah.
There's jokes.
When you're writing jokes is intense.
Yeah.
And there's a high jokes per page ratio in this book. And I imagine it must have been a kind of an intense thing to be boyfriends and girlfriends with someone that you have to generate that much stuff with.
Yeah, it is. It was difficult. I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously, we share the same sensibilities. And I like to play with the people that I hang out with. So we had that back and forth to begin with. And we've written stuff for The Daily Show, every piece. So I knew we could do it, but I didn't realize that it would take so long and be so hard. And the problem, too, is that he's writing a new show for The Daily Show every week while we were working on the book, and he was working on the book Earth that's coming out, which is incredible. I got an advance copy.
The upcoming Daily Show.
Yeah, book. It's really good. So he was basically writing a TV show and two books at the same time, and I was writing one book.
But also your stand-up act and all these other things
yeah.
you do.
But it's hard. I mean, I think to be in a romantic relationship and also be working partners, you have to learn to put your ego away. And not like, you want your boyfriend to be like, you're so smart, you're so funny. And then the minute you say a joke and he's like, yeah, it's not good. It's like, but you love me. You know, you have to be like, right, it's not good. Thank you. And like find something that is. And that's not easy. I mean, I must have been hard to work with at times.
Tell me about what it was like for you to, because a big part of writing a lot of jokes is cutting a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Was it hard for either of you guys to take that from your significant other?
Yes and no. I mean, it almost became like a bargain, like, okay, I'll lose this piece but you have to lose that piece kind of thing. So, yeah.
And I want to say that we're not talking that much about the content of the book, mostly because it's illegal to talk about that stuff in the United States on the public airwaves, and not because it isn't really hilarious and amazing, which it is. Were there things that each of you definitely needed to have in this book, or that both one of you suggested to the other one, and it was like an instant, like, yes, absolutely.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think the Mile High Club was something that sort of was the inspiration for the book. That's about the Mile High Club is when you make love in an airplane bathroom.
Right. And this... You can't talk about airplanes on the radio, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're dangerous. But in any case, in this short story, the Mile High Club is like a real club, like the firm, and you can't get out of it. But that was one we came together on. And yeah, there was a couple of pieces that, yeah. There's the whole book. We love the whole book.
Well, let me ask you a question that I guess it's conceivable we may have to cut your response out for for the radio, but we can always include it on the podcast. What was your first experience with the, let's say, literature, the media of sex and sexuality? Did you find a copy of The Joy of Sex on somebody's bookshelf or?
Oh, my first experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. My first experience was Harlequin romance novels. Definitely. I went to the public library and I would just get like a stack. I would just pull a stack off the shelf. There'd be a big empty space.
And for the listener, you're indicating something that's roughly 1.5 loaves of bread in width.
Yes, yes. And I would take them back to like a cubby hole in the back of the library. And I would just like skim through to find the sex parts. That's how I just loved them. I thought they were amazing. Like, you know, the words they use to describe genitals are so poetic. You know, like you can say this, her like pulsating triangle mound, right? And it's just like, you know, and for some reason they were always around page 60. As the first encounter, and then there's a blow up, and then they come back together at 180.
There's a real rhythm to these
there
things.
There is. Well, there's so a formula. I mean, it's a factory, isn't it? So, you know, and so it depends. But usually, you know, it'll be a fairly good sex scene at 60 because it's the first time. So they're like, whoa, like they're both like pretty impressed with each other's equipment, and then you know, and then it's like new and exciting, and then when they come back together again, it's you know, it's there's a familiarity or to it, and then they're just like they might get a little kinkier on the second try. Like they might do it on a boat. They only do it, honestly, like if I could think about it, no, there wasn't any other sexual act but intercourse. Yeah.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being on The Sound of Young America.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I love The Sound of Young America. It sounds hopeful. Huh, guys?
Kristen Schaal is a comedian and actress and writer. She is with Rich Blomquist, the author of The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex. She'll also be voicing a character on the upcoming Fox series Bob's Burgers, which is slated to premiere in January of 2011. That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I have been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our theme music and all of our music provided to us by Dan Wally. Our associate producer is Julia Smith. Nick White edits the show. If you have thoughts about the show, email me at jesse@maximumfun.org. And by all means, visit us online at maximumfun.org. Talk about the shows in our forum. Check out our podcasts. Take a look at our archives. There's all kinds of fun stuff there. I suppose that's just about it. We'll see you next time, right here on The Sound of Young America. The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Smith Micro Software, makers of Stuff It Deluxe, designed to move files simply and securely wherever customers want them to go, for Mac and PC, online at stuffit.com. And Ask Metafilter, thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com.